Well, praise the Lord. Good to see you all here tonight. I have the first line in my introduction is thank you for that introduction. But nobody introduced me, so my name is Ed Bragg, and good to be here. Good to be here. Brother Rigney has had to suffer every time a preacher is gone. He looked at me and he said, "Didn't you preach the last time I was here?" Poor guy. Anyway, good to meet you. Well, what a blessing. You know, you just stay at it, folks. God will bless you. He's clipping coupons. He's just clipping coupons. I'm telling you. Just talk to him. It's exciting. It is a blessing to be here in a place where our pastor stands week in and week out and feeds us the Word of God. It is a privilege and honor to be here. I'm the least of the least. What a great message last Wednesday night on despise not the small things. What a tremendous message, you young people. Need to listen to that and put that to practice. And then Sunday night, of course, we were in Woodridge on Sunday morning, and Brother Johnson's message on sinning against our security, what a tremendous message. And so I just hope we can keep it going and carry it on. Please appreciate what God has given us here at Faith Baptist. Please appreciate that. Please, don't take it for granted. Preachers that travel will come and tell us that. And I'm telling you, please do not take it for granted. I see the young people. Our church, I think that I could say this, the churches that we visited anyway, our church has more young people than any church we visited per capita. And I just love it. I love it. It's great to see. So praise the Lord. Don't take that for granted. Thank you, church, for praying for us, asking about us, and helping us financially. Thank you. Appreciate it. The fifth church that we were working with or have been working with just called their new pastor. And so we're glad for that. We trust that God will use him to lead that church. Debbie and I will be there for another month until he moves to Woodridge, Illinois. Wasn't sure how the church was going to go, whether it was going to make it or not, close or stay open. God seemed to stir the embers again, and there's a fire there. And so I preached on prayer, and they started a prayer meeting. I preached on soul winning. They started soul winning. I preached on loving your Bible, and they came to me and said, "I just don't read my Bible enough." So when a church responds to preaching, I think there's a little bit of hope there. Amen. And so we're hoping that God will use what we've been doing. But I tell you this, I'm a little frustrated. I'm excited for them, but one of the churches that we were helping and helped to get a pastor, a couple got crossways with a new preacher. He hadn't been there very long and wouldn't take his advice. And it just caused all kinds of problems. Very frustrating. Why did you even pray for a pastor? Can I tell you, a pastor is a gift to the church. If you're going to ask advice from a pastor, take it. Amen. Now, I'm just saying that out of frustration of the church that we helped. And I want to, Brother Jerry Ross and I, when he was here, we were talking, he said, "Brother Bragg, you know there's a reason why some of those churches were without pastors." I said, "Yes, sir, I know. God's not going to give them a gift if they're not going to take care of the man of God and listen to him." Can I tell you, if you're saved, you haven't been saved very long, you're young, a new member of the church, most of your counseling and advice is going to come right across this desk. All you need to do is come Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and you're going to get about all your questions answered by just showing up. And so I love this place. I love the preacher. I wish he were here also. Brother Rigney, I wish he were here also, but I'm glad that to be in his place and feel very honored and glad to be here. Open your Bibles to Numbers chapter 13, Deuteronomy chapter 31, and Joshua 1. I'll say those again. Numbers 13, Deuteronomy 31, and Joshua 1. While you're finding those places, I want to give a second public service announcement. You remember the first one, okay? Several months ago, maybe a couple years ago, I don't remember now, but I talked about that white line at the intersections. Y'all remember that? And I'm telling you, some of you folks came up to me and said, "Brother Bragg, I never noticed that, and I'm paying attention to it now, and I'm stopping on that white line." Hallelujah. This is my second one. I'm just going to give a second one. I don't think there'll be a third one, but it's in a form of a question. Why do people in Bradley, Bourbonnais, and Kankakee hate to use turn signals? What's the deal about that? Do you think that's demonic? There's nothing in the Bible that says you cannot use a turn signal. I know you're supposed to go straight ahead, not to the left, not to the right. But you can use a turn signal to let people know where you're turning. And I'm telling you, it's gotten me in a bad spirit again. And I'm trying to keep a good spirit about this. You pull up onto somebody, and it's a stoplight, and there's no left turn lane, and you're behind the first car in line, and you're the second one you pull up. And as the light turns green, they turn their turn signal on. Do you know that the law says you're supposed to do that 100 feet before you get to the intersection? 100 feet before you get to the intersection in a residential area, 200 feet in a commercial area. Now, that's not very far, but you don't do it in the middle of the intersection. And I've had that happen. I'm somewhat of an anticipatory driver. I anticipate what the guy's going to do. And I'm at a four-way stop, and somebody's going straight, and I think that's where they're going to go. And so I start to pull out to get right behind him, because you know the other guy's going to jump out there in front of you if you don't. And all of a sudden, in the middle of the intersection, he turns his left turn signal on and turns right in front of you. And I'm thinking to myself, well, you don't know what I don't want to tell you what I'm thinking to myself. And so I want to have a revival of traffic laws, amen? Anyway, I just thought I'd ask the question. And when somebody uses a turn signal, I tell my wife, I bet you they're not from here. They moved here. They don't live here, amen? All right, Numbers chapter 13, Deuteronomy 31, and Joshua 1. Let's start with Numbers 13 and verse 20. I'll just read these for time's sake. Numbers 13, verse 20. And what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. Now go to Deuteronomy chapter 31. Deuteronomy 31. Deuteronomy 31 says, verse number 6, be strong and of good courage. Fear not, be not afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with us. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him, in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of good courage. For thou must go with this people into the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them. And thou shalt cause them to inherit it. Now skip down to verse number 23. Of the chapter. It says, and he gave Joshua the son of Nun a charge and said, be strong and of good courage, for thou shalt bring the children of Israel into the land which I swear unto them, and I will be with thee. Now let's go to Joshua chapter 1, very familiar scripture here. Joshua 1 and verse number, let's look at verse number 6. Be strong and of good courage, and unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance of the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand nor to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all that to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Now the word that is repeated in these verses, and what I want to bring to your attention tonight and talk about tonight or preach tonight, preach a little bit, is the word courage. Courage. It's a great word. Courage. And I dare say that in this time in which we're living, believers, Christians, are going to have to take courage. We've got to take courage. Father, I pray now that you bless the reading of your word. Help me, I pray, first and foremost, be pleasing to you. Help me to preach correctly and properly. Father, I pray that you'd help me to be an encouragement. And Lord, help us to take courage, we pray. Thank you for our church family. Be with pastor, help him be refreshed, and we pray for Sunday. We ask that you'd bless. Lord, I thank you again for all that you do for us here in this place. We ask it in Jesus' name for thy sake. Please, Lord, do it again tonight, we ask. and amen. The Bible bits Sunday night were excellent. I thought Brother Sam Gibb talked about he talked about a cake words and how the Bible handles our cake words. But he also made a statement. He said, when you're explaining the Bible and you're expanding on a word, you're not correcting the King James. You're trying to enhance and understand the Bible. One of my favorite books next to the Bible, in fact, my favorite book next to the Bible, is the dictionary. Because oftentimes we really don't know what the words mean. And so the word courage came to me about 10 years ago, and the Lord said, you need to do some study on it. So I'm going to do exactly what Brother Gipp said. I'm going to try to expand on that word. And our English language is really a mutt language. Our language was created from all different types of languages. And so I love to study words and the etymology of words and so forth. And we're going to look at the word courage tonight. Let me give you the definition of the English dictionary. It says this: bravery, the quality of mind or spirit that enables a man or a woman to encounter danger and difficulty with firmness or without fear or depression of spirits, valor, boldness, resolution. Now, it's a lengthy definition, but let me give it to you again. The quality of mind or spirit which enables a person to encounter danger and difficulty with firmness and without fear or depression of spirits, valor, boldness, resolution. If anything we need today in this country or in our lives as Christians is we need resolution. We need courage. We need courage. The Hebrew definition is this, which always supports the English, by the way. To fasten upon or to seize, to be alert mentally and physically. So let's put these definitions into practice in Numbers chapter 13. God, through Moses, told the 12 spies, and we don't have time to read the whole story. You know the story. 12 men went to spy on Canaan. 10 were bad and 2 were good, right? Amen? And so he told the 12 men, Moses is telling the 12 spies, to go into the land and to encounter it with a quality of mind or spirit to encounter that danger or difficulty with firmness and without fear or depression. He said, seize the moment. God wants us to go, go. Have courage. Take courage. That's what he's telling them. 2 men showed courage. 10 men were cowards. And I'll tell you this right now. I'm preaching bigger than I can live. There's been times when I've showed cowardice, when I needed to show courage. I just want to encourage us to be courageous and to be bold. We don't have to cower and kowtow and be cowards. In Deuteronomy chapter 31, and we'll go back to that, please, Deuteronomy 31. This is when the last generation is already dead. Now the new generation is coming in, and they're going to take their second trip. They should have gone in the first time. They didn't. And so what's the message now, Brother Bragg? What's the message now, Brother Ed? What are they going to tell? What's God going to tell them now? Well, look at verse number 6. Be strong and of good courage. Same message. Can I tell you, Faith Baptist Church, be strong and of good courage. And by the way, that word strong, I don't necessarily mean, I didn't get to study that through, but I don't necessarily think that means strength physically, although it applies. But you put all the definitions together, it's a mental strength. It's a resolution. It's a determination. You understand what I'm talking about? Having courage. Take courage. And so God through Moses is reminding the Israelites, hey, you remember 40 years ago we've been here. We did this. And he said, we sent your fathers into the land that floweth milk and honey. And 10 of them, they were cowards. And they said, no, we can't do it. There's no way. They're going to kill us. He said, I'm going to tell you again the same message. Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid. Then he wheels around, Moses wheels around, and in the face of Joshua, in front of everybody, he says, Joshua, you remember you showed courage. You can do this again. Look at verse number 7. It says, and Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of good courage. I often preach this in men's meetings because men need to have courage. Amen. But as in the country, in the climate in which we live, I believe that every Christian needs to have courage. Courage on the job to stand up and speak up for the Lord. Moms, courage to teach your children right. Amen. I used to tell our children this. I don't care if everybody in the world's doing it. You're not going to do it. Because God doesn't want us to do that. He said, well, you're a mean dad. Yeah, I know. They turned out so bad, didn't they? Deuteronomy 31:7, Moses looked at Joshua and said, look, in our vernacular, look, man, you can do this again. Take courage. Take courage. Look at verse 23. He says in chapter 31, verse number 23, he's saying, he gave the charge, he gave Joshua the son of Nun a charge and said, be strong and of good courage, for thou shalt bring the children of Israel into the land which I swear unto thee, and I will be with thee. He said, look, this is your time. You need to do this. You need to take courage. Here's the definition again. The quality of mind or spirit that enables a person to encounter danger or difficulty with firmness and without fear or depression of spirits. That's the definition. Number two, we have courage determined. Now listen carefully to this. As far as I've studied, I cannot find any place in the Bible where we are to pray for courage. Now, it doesn't mean we can't, but every case I found in the Bible, you're to take courage. It's something that you take. It's something that you see, and you know you need to do, and you know God wants you to do it, and you determine to take courage. That's what, in fact, I'll give you a verse closer to the end of the message that proves my point in the English. But you put the Hebrew and English together to seize, to grasp. You take courage. You say, well, Brother Bragg, I'm praying for courage. Just step up and take it. Buckle up, boys. Let's go. Take courage. You understand what I'm talking about? Joshua was reminded by the Lord. In Joshua chapter 1, he said, did not I command thee? He said, Joshua, I'm commanding you. Take courage, and that's what we need today is courage. Daniel chapter 3. I love this story. Though the word courage isn't here, it's a great story. Daniel chapter 3 and verse number 14. You know the story. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Great guys. Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael was their Hebrew names. But verse number 14 of chapter 3, Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods? By the way, make no mistake. It's not just being tolerant. They want us to forsake our God. That's exactly what this world wants to do. They want us to forsake our God and serve their gods. That's where they're going with this. Just like the man talked about in Hong Kong. It's what's happening, and it's coming. You say, oh, Brother Bragg, what are you going to do? I'm going to do what the Bible says. I'm going to take courage and do what God wants me to do. Verse number 14, he says, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the fiery furnace. And who is that God? Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? I love the response. I love the response. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar. Now, the phrase here, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. He said, here's that verse in our vernacular. This is a no-brainer. This is a no-brainer. We're not bowing. We're not bowing. He says, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. You're not the end of all, Mr. King. God is, amen. Then these three words. But if not. But if not. I believe this with all my heart. Every Christian needs to come to a point in their life where they say, but if not. But if not. I'm not doing it. God can deliver me, but if he doesn't, I'm still not going to do what the world wants me to do. I'm not going to do what the devil wants me to do. I'm not even going to do what my flesh wants me to do. But if not, be it known unto thee, O King, we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Courage is usually never in the majority. I'll just tell you that. You must determine that you're going to do what God wants you to do no matter what. You must take courage. You must take courage. As the preacher preaches the word of God, you're filtering it through your mind. And yes, I'm going to do that. No, I'm not going to. Hey, look, you need to do what God says to do and the word of God says to do. You need to take courage is what you need to do. Amen. Joshua was a man of courage. Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. And by the way, Christian men and women need courage today, even to raise a family. Joshua 24, everything's over. The battles are over. He's going home. He said, go take the land that you haven't conquered. He said, now look, if it seem evil to you to serve the Lord, then choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Determined courage. Rick Mundy was an outfielder for the Chicago Cubs. I hate to mention those two words here, but Chicago Cubs. In 1976, some of you will remember this, 1976 was the year of our bicentennial here in the United States. There was a lot of protesters, streakers, flag burners. It was really a mess. The Cubs were visiting Los Angeles Dodgers in late April of 1976. It was the bottom of the fourth inning when a boy and a man jumped out of the stands and ran into the center field, or just in front of the center field and behind the second base with American flag, and they laid it on the ground. And Vin Scully, the great voice of the Los Angeles Dodgers, says, I believe they're going to try to burn that flag. And sure enough, the boy pulled out a can of lighter fluid and they started spraying it on the American flag. Before they could even, they tried to light it once and the match wouldn't light. And so they tried it again. Before they could take the second swipe with the match, Rick Mundy, from his center field position, ran in and grabbed the flag and ran into the Los Angeles dugout and gave it to Tommy Lasorda. Actually, he was on third base. He was coaching third base. Rick Mundy was not going to let anybody burn that flag in front of him. That's called courage. That's called courage. He was interviewed later, and he said this. He said, if you're going to burn the flag, don't you do it around me. I've been to too many veteran hospitals and seen too many broken bodies of guys who've tried to protect it, end of quote. Courage. He didn't have to think about it. It's a no-brainer. You're not burning that flag. And woof, grabbed it out of their hands and saved the flag. By the way, let me caution you. There is such a thing as foolish courage. God says we need to have good courage. There's a difference. Now, I guess it takes courage to get in a barrel and go over the Niagara Falls. It takes an element of courage, wouldn't you think? But why? That's kind of dumb. Amen? I mean, it takes a little bit of courage to dye your hair blue. I'm looking around to see if anybody has blue hair in here. And walk around with blue and red streaks in your hair. I guess that takes courage. I don't know. I don't have enough hair to do that with, so. I mean, there's some foolish courage. And I've been involved in that myself. You know what the last words of a redneck is? Hey, guys, watch this. There's some foolish courage. God says have good courage, not foolish courage. Hey, there's some demonic courage. Vladimir Putin is a very courageous man. He is a power-hungry dictator. He is out to get as much power as he can possibly get. When I was with Brother Alex in 2017 and 2018, when we were in Ukraine, he was telling them, Putin will take your country. Putin will take your country. No, he's not going to do that. No, he's not going to do that. Here we sit some 5 years later and the war lingers on in that country. Courage determined. We need to have good courage, good courage. Number three, courage deliberated. Deliberated. The word deliberate means to carefully weigh and consider, studied or intentional. There's certain things I'm not going to give in to. I'm going to have courage, and this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to believe the Word of God. I'm going to believe, as Brother Ross says, my good King James Bible. Amen. I'm going to follow what the Word of God says. I'm going to listen to the preacher. I'm going to follow his advice. I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. Amen. I'm going to go soul winning. I'm going to tell others about Christ. By the way, I don't think anybody mentioned there was several people saved yesterday out Bible handout. Amen. Praise the Lord. Deliberated. Let me give you another word. The English word courage comes from the French word, an old French word. The old French word cour, C-O-U-E-R, excuse me, C-O-U-E-R, it means heart, heart. We have a town down in St. Louis suburb called Crèvecœur. It means bleeding heart, cour. The English phrase take heart means exactly that, take courage. Where does courage come from? It comes from your core, from your heart. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 24. Excuse me, Proverbs 4 real quick. Proverbs 4. Comes from your heart. You see, Brother Bragg, how do I get courage? Have the right heart. Have the right heart. Have a heart for God. Have a heart for His Word. Have a heart to do what God wants you to do. Look at chapter 4, verse number 20. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Issues like courage, issues like bravery, issues like faithfulness, issues like goodness and righteousness. Keep thine heart with all diligence. Why? Because out of your heart comes the courage to serve God. Perhaps a good prayer would be to pray, God, give me a heart with courage, or give me that heart to take courage when I need it. It takes deliberate courage to keep thine heart with all diligence in a sinful and wicked world. Courage deliberated. Then number four, courage deterred. Courage deterred. The opposite of courage is cowardice, which comes from fear. God said over and over again, I've threatened to do this. I need to do this someday. Someone said that the command that's given most often in the Bible is fear not, fear not, fear not. I haven't gone through to find that to be true, but I know he says it a lot. And we know that God doesn't repeat himself because he doesn't have anything else to say. He wants us to fear not, fear not, fear not, fear not. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 7. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of... No, let's get it right. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power. Power comes first, then love, then a sound mind, in that order. We need the power of God in our hearts as well as the love of God in our hearts. Amen. And a sound mind. The last mention of the word courage, and I have to hurry here, because Paul said in Acts chapter 28, verse number 15, the last chapter of the book of Acts, Paul's on his way to Rome. He's already been through the shipwreck. He's been through all kinds of problems. Been in the jail there for, 3 years? I mean, he's worn out, and he gets to land, and he gets to the Appii Forum, and the three taverns. In that verse 15, the men from Rome heard that Paul was coming, and they came to meet him. And the Bible says when he saw them, he thanked God and took courage. He thanked God and took courage. Do you know that every one of us gets to a point where we get down at times? And especially with great trials, we must take courage. I don't want to give you any discouragement tonight, but the older you get, that trials don't get any easier. But should we not have faith and not fear the older we get? Now, I learned a lesson here in Acts chapter 28. Your presence and faithfulness can be an encouragement to other people. Like preacher just said, missionary just said, it's great to see you all. It's good to come back. It's good to see you. Boy, I'm telling you, I get oftentimes on Sunday, Debbie and I get, we get double bonus points because we go to Sunday school, church, Sunday afternoon, and then Sunday night. We get double points for coming that many times on Sunday. Amen. I don't want to miss. I want to find out what's going on. Somebody will encourage me. Say, where you at? What's going on? Can we pray for you? And then the last one is courage demonstrated. And I have to hurry with this one. Demonstration of courage. Whom else would we look to for the demonstration of courage other than our Lord Jesus Christ himself? In Isaiah 50, verse 7, Jesus demonstrated the greatest courage of all when he set his face like a flint to go to the cross for us. It says here in chapter 50, verse 7, I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting, for the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. The incredible courage that Christ showed by going to the cross for us and doing God's will is most definitely the greatest example we could have of courage. Our Jesus wasn't some kind of sissified, long-haired, goofy guy. He was a man's man. Courage. 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 Courage could be Christ in you. Christ in you. God, give me that courage I need. I know that the Bible doesn't necessarily teach us. It says, take courage. I don't think God would be disappointed if we asked for it. God, give me that heart that I need, that core being, that courage that I need to make some decisions. I wasn't going to give this illustration. I'll give it real quick. I played football 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th grade. I love football. I loved football. Those 3 years, 7th, 8th, 9th grade, we never lost a game. Our high school wasn't quite that good, and they were looking for us to build the team so that we could have this great football team in our 11th and 12th grade year. My 10th grade year, I wasn't supposed to start. I started every game except one, homecoming. There was a senior that played outside linebacker, same position I played, and I beat him out on his position. He was a little bit sloppy and so forth. But nonetheless, we were good. We're headed to be a very good football team. Between my 11th and 12th grade, I was called to preach. I got saved and called to preach. Our church was starting a Christian school. Jesus saved my soul. Christian education saved my life. So my mom said, hey, I didn't start football, you did. So you're going to have to go tell your coach you're not going to play. Now, our coach was Felix Chambers. He played for the San Francisco 49ers. They had hired him to just turn our football team around, and he did. He was a water dog. He was baptismal regeneration. He believed in baptismal regeneration. I remember going that July, just before summer practices, and I went into that coach's room with him and Mr. Wilhelm, Dave Wilhelm, who was the wrestling coach and assistant football coach. And I said, Coach, I'm going to go to a Christian school. God's called me to preach. I was scared to death, but I knew that's what God wanted me to do. And I had my parents backing on it. And now I'm telling you, I didn't always show courage, but that day probably changed my life. Here's what he said to me. He said, have you been baptized? I said, yeah, I've been baptized. I said, I got saved and baptized. He said, look, that's all you need to do. He said, my son was going to marry a girl, and she hadn't been baptized. So I made sure she got baptized, and then I let her get married, let him get married. He said, all you need to do is get baptized. You don't need to go join some kind of religious, fanatical group. Then he said this, you're going to ruin your life. Quitting football? Ruining my life? Yeah, I wonder where he is at today, if he's even living. I guess maybe I did ruin my life. 33 years pastoring a church. 6 years being a principal. And you far outpass me, buddy, I'm telling you. 6 years being a principal. 33 years pastoring. Three children, love the Lord, saved, married, right people, and right church. Now, I'll make that trade every day and twice on Sundays, amen? I'm going to do God's will. I'm going to take courage. Take courage. Is there anyone here tonight that would say, Brother Bragg, I'm not saved. I need to get saved. I'd like to be saved. Anybody like that at all? Say, I'd like to be saved. I've never been saved. Okay, here's the invitation then. This is the question. What do you have in your life that's dangerous and difficult that you have to face and you have to take courage? What is it? What is it? Do you need to come and say, God, please, help me to have the heart with courage to do what's right? Father, I pray now that you bless the invitation. I pray that you'd use it for thy honor and glory. I thank you for the word courage. What a great word. Only be thou strong and very courageous. God, help us, we pray. Lord, I didn't ask for a raise of hands, and I hope you spoke to hearts. Lord, if we don't need it tonight, there's going to be a day when we do need it, so help us to tuck this away and keep it in our hearts. Help us to keep our hearts with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. We can't change that. And I pray that you bless the invitation. Use it for thy honor and glory, we pray. We ask in Jesus' name. If God spoke to your heart, once you stand to your feet, I'll say amen. You come on the very first note of the invitation hymn. Father, we pray that you bless the invitation. In Jesus' name, amen. Use the invitation.